The other samurai had all but given up their futile efforts to escape, stopping on the slick rocks and looking hopelessly at the mighty wave that rushed upon them. Ryan wasn't absolutely sure, but he thought he had seen a slash of crimson, as at least one of them had hastily committed suicide.
Should we not be making our own escape from this place? That tsunami seems damnably high, and we are rather low.
Won't reach us. We're a good 250 feet above sea level here. No way we're in any danger from it.
The tidal wave seemed to be growing larger with every few yards as it tore in toward the land. Its white crest was well over 100 feet high, and the weight of water was incalculable.
Could always move a tad higher, lover?
Wouldn't do any harm.
Doc started running for higher ground, his elbows pumping, feet splayed out, the tails of his frock coat flaring out behind him. His mane of silver hair trailed like a bridal veil. Jack was at his heels, followed close behind by JB and Milburn. Ryan and Christy had started walking after them, when their nerve went, and they both started to spring toward the crest of the ridge. Ryan risked a glance behind him again, pausing in mid-stride, seeing that they were high enough to be safe, though not by as much as he thought. There was a moment when the wave seemed to hang a mile high, frozen in time and space, like a mighty cliff of dark green jade, topped with snow, with the samurai trapped forever beneath it. The foaming combers reached within 100 paces of where Ryan, closest of the group, stood to watch. Then it sucked back, exposing the muddy bottom of the ocean, where hundreds of blind creatures flopped and writhed in the dense mud. Christy took Ryan's arm, staring out at the scene of nature in all its awesome fury.
That was something else, lover.
Yeah.
Poor devils never had a chance.
We've been farther down, nearer the sea. They've taken us all out.
Mashashig has lost half his top fighting men.
Plenty of Indians and no chiefs.
Nice to see you trying to run like mad and keep your cool all at the same time.
I knew in my mind that the wave wouldn't reach us, but my heart wasn't so sure.
The retreat stopped up the hill. Mashashiga and the other samurai are coming back.
The shogun stopped in front of the outlanders.
The Ronin have gone, so we will follow them.
Jack halted his pony, pointing at one of a row of abandoned, tumble-down stores in a village west along the coast.
Joe's Record Paradise?
It was the name of a place selling American rock music.
It was possible to read the faded names of some of the stores, and Ryan was surprised how many were in American rather than in Japanese. Carrot on Horseback looked as if it had once been a super trendy boutique, with some naked dummies still leaning crookedly in the broken window. Two health shops stood side by side, one called Super Freaks, and the other, the No Lemon Juice Bar. There was Happy Calling, with no clue at all to what they might have once sold. The same with a store called Cuter and Cuter.
I confess that I had no idea how deeply American custom and usage had infiltrated your country.
Some say it was very bad and made us weak and feeble like old women.
Whose side were you all on in the war? Us or them?
The shogun reined in his stallion alongside them.
War? I know of no war. The blossom was shaken from the cherry trees. Peaches fell from the branches. The face of the sun was hidden behind the frowning crowds. But I do not remember a war.
On the side of the Ruskies, I expect. The way they always behaved historically.
There was no winner and no losers in the day of Skylark. Everyone found themselves caught on wrong side of line.
I don't agree. There may not have been any winners, but there was a shitload of losers, like most of the world.
It will not happen again! We have so many people and so little land! But you, Gaijin, in Deathlands are like fat, pampered babies, and we shall make right.
Enough! There are words that might be spoken, and some that might not.
Forgive my running tongue, Lord.
The samurai's second-in-command bowed low in the saddle as Mashashiga looked again at Ryan.
My scouts think that they have picked up on the trail of the fleeing Ronin.
Think? Do they need any help? Jack and I have been tracking most of our lives.
I would be most grateful for your help. There are so many of us in so small a place, but we have little skills such as you must have in the immense wilderness of Deathlands.
You've been there?
No. I greatly and very much regret that it has not been possible. You have a saying in your country, Ryan Kodosan, that when the rats are not present, then the mice begin to play?
Yeah, well, Something like that. You mean that if you jumped into Deathlands through the Matrans unit, then you might not be Shogun when you jump back again?
My powers rest on uncertain ground. There is always the snake sleeping beneath the rock.
I see the problem.
Ryan went on ahead of the main party, with Jack at his side. The two men leaned in their saddles to check the trampled ground about them.
Quite a lot of men and animals. Difficult to tell, pack horses.
Ryan stared down at the reddish dirt.
If I had to put a guess on the number, I'd make around 20 mounted, and twice that on foot.
Could be.
Jack ran his hands through his long white hair, bringing his pale fingers away, stained with the crimson dust.
Phew. This shit awful place.
There was very little vegetation. They had already passed a swath of pine trees, stunted and twisted, their branches grayish-black and brittle with pollution. Away to their right, they could see another of the crowded vills, with hundreds of small huts, clustered around a number of smoke-belching factories and processing plants. From the raw smell that burned the back of the throat, they surmised that at least one of them was producing crude gasoline. There was a significant number of larger properties, looking as if they dated from well before Skydark, but most of them were severely run down and in need of renovation. And nearly all of them looked to be home to dozens of families. Ryan waited for the others to catch up.
That looks like a picture in an old book, Doc.
Ryan pointed to a cluster of buildings up a side trail to their left.
Based on European design, eclectic mix of styles.
Many houses have electrics. We are not the barbarians.
I did not mean... but let that pass. The one at the top is based on one of the dream castles of the mad Ludwig of Bavaria, with its towers and turrets. And next to it stands a scaled-down version of a classical French chateau from the banks of the Loire.
What's that one, Doc? Looks like Macbeth lived there.
Well-informed guess, madam.
Why, thank you.
A Scottish border castle in a shrunken replica. Although its battlements seem in need of repair, I think it would not withstand a siege for very long.
The honorable ancestors who lived in these parts were very wealthy and prosperous.
What the hell?
Ryan pointed down to the right, over the crest of the hill they'd just crossed. The large sign had been newly painted in a garish tartan script, the Clan Makayakawa Golf Course, and beneath it, members only.
A golf course? In the midst of all this polluted desert, you got a golf course?
Women are not allowed.
Now, why could I have guessed that for myself? Then again, from what I remember, there were a lot of golf courses back in the pre-dark times, all over the damn world, that were kind of selective about who played on their fairways and greens. You weren't all that welcome on a mess of them if you were black or female.
Or if you were of the Hebrew persuasion. At least, that was the case in my day.
You can only play here if you are at least of samurai class. I have played here many times and shot many eagles and birdies.
I've shot plenty of blackbirds and crows in my day.
No! You do not understand golf speech, Gaiji.
More like you don't understand the American gift of humor.
As they rode by, following the trail left by the retreating Ronin, the scale of the golf course became clear. On every side of them, apart from the north, where the placid sea glittered distantly, the air was thick with layers of smoke and fumes of all different colors. But they were all the colors of darkness, not cerulean or vermilion or gold or emerald, but gray, brown, muddy orange, slime green, and a hideous mustardy yellow, issuing from dozens of chimneys, factories, and processing plants. The squat buildings were set at the side of filthy, slow-moving rivers, so contaminated that not even the most vile mutations could live there. One of the streams was actually burning, giving off oily smoke and a foul smell like rotten fish mixed with slurry and crusted vomit. But gleaming amid this tawdry parody of 20th century industrialized life, there was the golf course. It was like a glittering jewel set in a pile of rancid excrement. Dark green fairways and silver sand in the bunkers. A sylvan stream running crystal clear between the greens, with tiny scarlet flags blowing bravely. But it was very small.
If you do not mind my asking you a question, Toyotomi.
Ask, Dr. San.
What is pa for the course?
The warrior squinted up at the clouds that concealed the watery sun.
Pa for the course?
Sure. In my day, it was generally somewhere around 72 strokes for most of the courses. Give or take a couple of shots either way.
72?
For 18 holes.
Doc looked at the others.
Why am I finding it hard to communicate here? I'm not having one of my breakdowns of communication, am I? Not speaking in strangely biblical tongues of gibberish?
For once, you're making real good sense, Doc.